Good morning. My name is Joe Waldrum. I'll be your liturgist this morning. Instead of Craig Bowes, who's listed in the bulletin, and Craig's a lot better looking than me, and he's that guy in the third row here, so. We're glad to have you here today. If you're visiting with us, we're very grateful for your attendance, and we hope you'll find that Asbury's a very welcoming and loving church, and we hope you'll make it your home church. Please fill out the registration pads at the end of the pews. We want a record of your attendance. A few announcements. On Wednesday, March the 8th, at 5:45, we will have a Lenten dinner and a short devotional in the Wilson Activity Center. Supper is chicken spaghetti for adults and chicken strips for the kids by Corky's. The price is $8 for adults and $5 for kids. We hope you'll be there. Please mark in the insert if you plan to come to dinner, the insert in your bulletin. Miss Laura is collecting candy for the Easter festival. If you'd like to donate, please bring that to the church office. If you're interested in being a member of the Handbells Choir, please get in touch with Diana. She'd love to have you in Handbells. And now Vic Anderson has an announcement.
Good morning. This is a brief update from your SPRC. After a lengthy search process, the SPRC has hired Kara Chapman as our praise and worship leader for the celebration service. Kara is an accomplished vocalist and musician, and she has been having experience leading praise and worship in several Central Arkansas congregations. She and her family will join Asbury on March the 12th, and her first Sunday in leading worship in celebration service will be on March the 19th. Let us all welcome her and her family to the Asbury family. Also, the SPRC was advised this week that Reverend Chase Green has learned of his new appointment effective July of 2017. Chase has been appointed to the position of pastor at Primrose United Methodist Church on West Dixon Road in Little Rock, and we're pleased and excited that he and Jana will be able to stay in the Little Rock area. And we wish Chase the very best as he starts his new chapter of ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Vic. And now I invite you to pass the peace of Christ. If you'll please stand for the call to worship. We turn our eyes up to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us reach out to the Lord, our God. Yes, let us reach out to our God. And now remain standing for our hymn of praise. Come thou fount of every blessing, number 400 in your hymnal.
Thank you. morning, my friends. How are you? I am so glad. You know what? I'm so used to standing on this side. I'm going to move this over a little bit. Did y'all have a good weekend?
Yes.
Yes. Did you enjoy the sunshine yesterday?
Yes.
I did too. Well, today I want to talk. Actually, before I get there, I want to ask you something. Okay? You know me, I always have questions, right? Okay. So this morning I want to ask you, if I had Miss Jenny stand right there, you don't have to, and I turned around and I fell backwards, do you think Miss Jenny would catch me? Yes? Miss Jenny's saying no. You would catch me? Good. Or if it went the other way, do you think if I stood here and Miss Jenny turned around and she fell back into my arms, do you think I would catch her? I probably wouldn't. I'm just kidding. I would catch her. What is that? That's called what?
Trust.
Trust. Trust. That's right. Trust. And so do we do a lot of things every day about trust? Don't we? There's a lot of times where it is, trust me. And your parents may say that to you a lot of times, right? Trust me. I know what's best for you. And a lot of times we don't want to hear that, do we? No, we don't. Sometimes we'll roll our eyes. She said it again. That's right. But you know what? There's a story about a dad by the name of Abraham. And he, in the story, had to take his son, Isaac, to the top of the mountain, right? Because he was told to give his son away. And what do you think happened? Did he do it? He did do it because he had trust that what? That God was going to take care of them, right? And so we need to have that same trust, don't we? Just like I would trust that Miss Jenny would catch me and that Miss Jenny would trust that I would catch her. And so I want you to think about that as you go each day. And when you hear the statement from your parents, trust me, it's going to be okay. Or trust me, you're going to be okay. Or trust me. Then I want you to think about that. But most of all, think about the trust that God has for you and that he's going to take care of you every day, 365 days a year. Right? All right, let's pray.
Dear Father, help us like Abraham to put our trust in you and have faith that you will provide. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to look in the bulletin at the prayer list. Several people need your prayers. There is one addition. Please pray for Susan York, whose father had a stroke. Let us pray. Oh God, your glory is always to have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ the Son. For we want this time of focus, prayer, and realignment with your will for our lives to truly make a difference in our hearts. Help us to be patient when we feel we cannot handle a situation. Remind us to turn to you when we feel trapped and frustrated. No one can go through life alone and isolated and be changed. It takes the warmth of your love, O God, and the fellowship of disciples as support for us to truly be transformed. Work within us your peace so that we might share peace with others. And now let us pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now let us bless our morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, you have given so much to us. Help us respond to the grace we receive by sharing with others our prayers, our love, our gifts, and our resources to help others to know you and your holy path. Amen. Now, if you'll please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Grace is Greater Than Our Sin, number 365 in your hymnal.
Amen. Amen. Won't you please be seated? It is great to be with you, and it is certainly wonderful to have all the love and support that I have received over the past almost 4 years with being here together. Now let us turn as we shift our focus as we begin the season of Lent with our sermon series on Mountains of Power for Jesus and Us, Pinnacle Power. And we go to Mount Moriah, and we'll be reading our scripture passage from Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 18. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this, have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. And I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. What is happening? What is going on? Do we worship a God that commands a follower to sacrifice their child? This passage, no doubt, has been one of the most controversial of the entire Bible. No matter what way you approach it, it is a little troubling at best. What I find fascinating about this passage and the few verses that precede what we read is that there is no emotion at all in this text. There's no anger from Abraham for God asking him to do such a thing. There's no grief and anxiety and sadness because of what Abraham is asked to do. Isaac just seems to go along with it, dumbfounded or you know, just laying down in the wood, take me now. We don't know what is going through the minds of Abraham and Isaac. And this passage troubles us because, let's be honest, if someone had told you that God said they were to kill their son as an act of faith, you would call the police, and rightfully so. If we put this in some context, it may help us. Because Abraham has been testing with this faith for a long time. You may remember that he left his land all, and he took his family and his possessions, going to worship and follow a foreign god. All on faith. At that time, many believe there were gods and goddesses that were commanding their followers to have child sacrifice. Abraham begins to mature and grow in this faith, being brought into a covenant. And he and Sarah are both baffled when they are informed that they will indeed have a son. Met with some laughter, met with some bewilderment, and some confusion along the way, and some trickery done to try and quicken the pace of this son to come along with Ishmael, and he's sent away. And now finally, Abraham has their own son, he and Sarah. He's grown up a little bit, and now he is commanded to kill that son. The question has been asked in Ignazia, what would you do? Would you have the faith to do what Abraham do? And hopefully all of us would say, no, we're going to protect our children. We're not going to put them through a psychologically traumatic event such as that. If we open our minds and see, we might come away with a couple possibilities of how to handle this passage. The first being that Abraham had so much faith in God, because God had proven God's self so much through so many different events that Abraham knows God would never allow this to go forward. And that Abraham worships a God that doesn't kill children. We also know that perhaps God really wanted to show by example that he does not condone child sacrifice, that this is not the God who Yahweh is. There will be another way, and the ram comes on the scene as a replacement. It's still troubling, but we learn with wisdom how to take this text by what happens. We know God prevents Abraham from killing the child. That's a good thing. Amen. We know that the covenant continues. Abraham is blessed, and they have offspring, numerous, generation after generation, and that leads to Christ, and that is good. And we know that Israel never does anything close to child sacrifice again, and that's good. How do we incorporate some meaning from this story into our own lives? There must be sacrifice in our lives. And what better time to have it than the season of Lent, a season of going deeper, a season of following Christ in a more focused and sincere way, a season of seeking to be more committed. Because that's what God wants. And we recognize that is what God urges us each and every day to do, is to grow deeper in faith. And that sacrifice is needed. We live in the United States. We are blessed. We are immensely privileged. And let's be honest, it takes some hard work to really find the kind of sacrifice God is looking for in our lives. But sacrifice is meant to make us uncomfortable. It's meant to make us shift in our seat. It's meant to make us feel impatient, and that our emotions and our every aspect of our life seems a little bit in disarray, because it's in that moment where we then reach out our arms to Christ for help, for healing, for wisdom in walking the path. Not only does sacrifice make us uncomfortable, but it is supposed to be a way in which we go deeper. That's why in Lent we have such a sincere focus in trying to mirror what Jesus went through in the wilderness, wandering there for 40 days and 40 nights and going without. If we sacrifice, it gives us a better opportunity to follow the faithful path in a more deep way. And we gain wisdom when we go without. We gain wisdom because we realize that God is who we need. God and God's love alone can sustain us. That incredible power and knowledge gives us such comfort, I would hope, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we seek to sacrifice, we will be helped. A seminary student I went with and educated with for a couple years, his name was Samisi, and he was from the island of Fiji. And he traveled all the way to Washington, D.C. to gain more knowledge and wisdom and how to be a more faithful pastor to his context in Fiji. Now, what did that take to accomplish that goal? Sacrifice. He had to give up his comfort zone. He had to travel thousands of miles away and be implanted in a very different culture. And he was blessed, grew in wisdom, and now I know he's doing great work back in Fiji. What must you sacrifice to signal to God that you are in this? What must you give up to let God know you want to go deeper? Is it to sacrifice some work because you work too much and you don't have time for God or family or Sabbath? Or maybe it's the opposite. You have too much free time, too much leisurely time, and you don't fill that with purposeful spiritual development. Or what if we say the M word? Money. Everyone's favorite topic in church. That's supposed to be a joke. That controls our lives. Amen? It does. We know it does. How are you being intentional in bringing your faith and your money in alignment? What must you give up to go deeper? Jesus, at the Lord's table, shared in the new covenant that would be established in the giving of his body and his blood. Every time we come to this table, we remember Christ's sacrifice. And not a sacrifice where he was forced and chained and placed down on wood to be killed involuntarily, but a sacrifice he was willing to give. A sacrifice he believed in his heart he wanted to do to make wholeness and healing. But when we remember sacrifice at this table, we cannot stop at just the death. Because what comes from the death is resurrection. What comes from the death is healing and wholeness and help and aid and connection. What comes from the table is extravagant grace that helps us to defeat the sacrifices we need to make in our own lives. We must give up something to go without. Brings wisdom to our mind and our heart. What will you give up? Amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. We're going to be doing communion slightly different today, so don't be alarmed. We're going to have the sung responses accompanied with our liturgy. And so you'll be invited by Angel's cue at the appropriate time at the bold statements of the Holy, Holy, the Christ is risen, and the Amen to sing along. And so now, let us remember and reflect upon how Christ invites all to this table of grace. Christ's love seeks to be in everyone's heart and bring wholeness to their lives. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ our Lord, while we were yet sinners, died for us. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which our Lord gathered himself and his disciples, sharing with them of the new covenant of forgiveness, he took bread, he gave thanks to God. He broke it. Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me. And after the supper had been over, our Lord took a cup, again giving thanks to God. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast at God's heavenly banquet. Through your Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. We have a gluten-free option for those that will need that this morning. We also will have a offering plate in the middle that you can place donations to that will help those that come to our church in need. And now I'll just invite those to come forward who will be assisting. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourselves to us. Grant that may we go into your world, the strength of your spirit, and this bread and juice, this body and blood, that we may share love with this world. Amen. I invite you to stand now as we turn in our hymnals to our closing hymn, Draw Us in the Spirit's Tether, page 632. If there are those who would like to continue to have a prayer time at our offering rail, or if you'd like to come forward to join our church or reaffirm your faith, we welcome you at this time. We still have a few months together, still a few months to do ministry together, and we have to work hard. We continue our efforts of the kingdom, no matter what happens. And we go forward with the light of God that lights our path as we go deeper into faith and discipleship by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.